Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Mission 16W. Bring the cup home to Denver. Getting you set for tonight's Game 4 in St. Louis, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Are a change in Denver, Colorado. Now we're going to be joined by D-Mac here in about 13 minutes, live from St. Louis. Boots on the ground again.
He's doing a great job over there. I was following it all Saturday.
It's fun, isn't it, to follow along with him?
All the post-game stuff that he, you know, when you're looking at Bednar and the questions that are being asked, it's been great having him boots on the ground there in St. Louis, giving us what we need.
And you can tell, like, in terms of a coverage standpoint, without, like, they're not doing everything on Zoom. Like, you're able to be with someone and ask a follow-up question directly as opposed to, like, raising your hands on Microsoft Teams or whatever.
Right. Oh, you're
like,
muted. You unmute yourself. Unmute yourself. Okay, we got to move on.
And that'd be like Kliss half the time. Yeah. Like, Kliss, you're muted, right, dude.
Kliss! Kliss!
But I bring that up because when you're actually in St. Louis doing the work, it's more organic. And it's better content. So D-Mac's crushing it. He'll join us in about 12 minutes. Perfect. and give us the update on just the temperature with the Nazem Kadri, fallout, threats, police, front cover, ESPN.com. Like, whoa. So we'll take a big dive into that here in just a couple minutes. But, Stoke, I have the spread for every Broncos game this season.
You do?
I do.
Wow.
And what I wanted to do is just sort of go through it game by game.
Oh, my goodness. This is a treat. I didn't know that.
Well.
Let me get my pen out. Okay, I'm ready.
So I figure we could do the exercise and sort of just put you on the spot, as we often do, and have you try to guess the spread.
Perfect.
Okay? Week one, Monday Night Football. You may know this one already.
Yeah, I don't remember. But I kind of remember around, like, but range. I don't remember exactly. The range was like 4-6.
The line on the first game of the season, Monday Night Football in Seattle, one of the most interesting games of the year, everyone agrees, it's the Broncos -3.5.
3.5, okay. I was a little bit high.
Okay.
Look, if I'm just, someone just gave me $100 and said I had to place it on this game, on something, I'm putting it on the Broncos -3.5. I don't care. I get it. You know, Merrillat's scared to death of playing Seattle the first game for whatever reason. Tyler is...
It's not for whatever reason.
Just let me finish. Tyler is Mr. 12th Man. We all know that. He's like, all the fan mail for the 12th man goes to his house. So I get it. You know, those two guys are really bullish on the Seahawks. I'm not. It ought to be a seal club, and plain and simple. That's it. End of story.
So I... No, first of all, I don't agree with Tyler in terms of that the Seahawks is the best fan base and the Broncos is in the top five. But I do agree with James in a sense that the temperature of that game is going to be such. Week one's always fluky. And anyway, we've talked about the historical week one craziness. Yeah. It's going to be their Super Bowl. They're going to have a plan. Pete Carroll's
Has a plan.
Until they get punched in the face.
Yes, by Tyson.
But. It's one of these things where just the emotion and the getting the wrinkles out of your first game, and it's going to be an intense atmosphere. So I'd stay away from this one. You know, that's where I sit now. Of course, I'll play it. But like where it's just a little bit.
So you're with Tyler and James here. That's kind of what it sounds like.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a really tough game. Yeah. I think the line is such because.
So you're taking the Seahawks. That's what it sounds like. I'm just saying. Goodness.
The people who put the numbers on the game don't care. They don't care. So if they...
Zach, I know that.
They're putting it at 3.5.
Right, I know that. And I'm taking the Broncos. Like I'm telling you, I'm taking the Broncos in this game. This has got to be a beatdown. Seattle
It's not going to be a beatdown.
A double digit. Seattle stinks. Okay? They don't have a quarterback. Who, if we lose the first stinking game to Geno Smith or Drew Lock, Big Trouble, Little China. That's all I got to say. I mean, this is not a playoff team if that happened.
Thanks to our listeners in Aurora for making 104.3 the Fan part of your day. That
I'm
would
sorry.
Be a brutal way to start
right.
the year. That
I'm
would
sorry.
Be...
And that's, I mean, like, okay, do they win by 1 or 2 points? Yeah, that could happen, but I'm thinking this is a 7-14 point win for the Denver Broncos, and that's the way it should be. I mean, let's take a step back. I got it, Zach. First game of the year. Nathaniel Hackett, Russell Wilson. I get all of that, but then I take a step back. And I look, and I say, oh, our quarterback now is Russell Wilson. Their quarterback now is who? Geno or Drew? There's my answer. Beatdown. And if it's not, and if they lose that first game, Zach, I can't even go there.
That would be.
I'm not even going there.
You talk about your confidence.
Right. I'm not even going there. But because I don't think it's going to happen. But that's, I mean, that's my view right now on this thing. Now, we'll see that things can change, obviously, if they get a different quarterback. But that's what it boils down to. Like, that's why we have Russell. This is what we're so fired up about around here. Because these types of games now.
The shoe's been on the other foot for us.
Yes, these types of games now are wins.
Yeah.
They've got to be wins, or why did we get Russell Wilson?
Yeah, but it doesn't. You think about Russell Wilson versus the Broncos early in the season, 2018. If you said, hey, one team's got Russell Wilson, the other's got Case Keenum, you'd be like,
I'd pick the Broncos in that one, though, Zach, because the Seahawks, they flipped their whole team that year.
But they were like 12-4 that year.
I know, but that was the start of the season.
Yes, it was.
And it was like Seattle's going to have a down year this year. That was the narrative going into that year.
And they came here and lost.
Right, but it was a competitive game.
Yes, it was. It was actually a comeback win, I believe, for the Broncos.
Right, it was a competitive game. I thought the Seahawks were going to be a bad football team, and they ended up being a good football team that year. We got Russell Wilson. They got... And put a little bit more respect on Case Keenum. Ever since he wrote that book, you've been down on him.
That's right. Because I was bullish on him leading up to that point.
Bestseller.
They decided
Bestseller.
To release a book the first week of the season.
Bestseller.
Like, what are you doing?
Sold 100 copies. Get on sale now.
Okay.
$3.99.
Okay. Let's continue with the exercise.
Okay. All right.
Broncos week 2. We have the spread for every games. Each Bronco games, how often are they favored? How often are they the underdog? You get to week 2, Houston Texans at home. What do you think the number on that game is?
That's going to be a big number, obviously. Does it get to the double digits? I'm not going to quite go double digits, but I'm going to be right around there. I'm gonna go 9.5.
Broncos minus 11.
Okay, it is double digits. Wow.
So they start their season 2 weeks in a row favored. You get to week 3.
I put my money on the Broncos on both. Like, if you gave me $100 once again, I'd lay the 11 and just say this is going to be a big, big beatdown.
I'd feel much more comfortable week 2 doing that.
Okay.
I'd be staying away from week 1 or taking the money line.
Right. You're taking the Seahawks.
We stop. Week 3, the Niners come into town. This is prime time. This is Sunday Night Football.
This is way, way early. I mean, we don't know who their quarterback's going to be for the Niners.
Correct.
We don't know. I mean, it could still be Jimmy G. Could be the unknown Trey Lance. We don't know what Trey Lance looks like, really.
Dude, I think they're going to start the season with Jimmy G. Because their football coach is making the decision. And I think Jimmy G represents...
Their football coach has always made the decision.
Yep, but...
Their football coach is the one that took Trey Lance.
See, that's what makes this one different.
Right.
But... I still think early in the season, you're going to feel desperate because it's the beginning of a season. You so desperately need to get off to a good start.
Sure.
Everyone feels that way.
Right.
And I think Jimmy G gives them the best chance to do that. That's just where I sit right now.
What did I tell you was going to happen? Jimmy G was going to be back there as the backup.
Oh, that's right. See, well, you actually could be right on that. It sounded crazy.
See, right? You were like, you're a dumb Stokely. But now you're kind of like, whoa.
Yep.
Don't forget I said that months ago.
I like it.
Okay.
I like it.
So that game, that thing's going to be around a coin flip game right there. Could go either way. It's at home.
Correct.
I got the Seahawks. I got the 49ers favored.
They're in your head. You're so scared.
I got the 49ers favored by 1.5.
The Broncos are a 3-point favorite.
Wow.
So for 3 consecutive weeks, the Broncos start off as favorites. You get to week 4.
Wow.
You get to week 4 against...
Does that surprise you like it surprises me?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
It doesn't. I think that's right where it should be. I think this is around a pick 'em game. You usually get 3 points for being at home. Broncos -3 feels right where it should be. And the uncertainty at the quarterback. They might be playing a young quarterback, and I think they're taking that into account. Or you're playing a veteran quarterback who can't even practice right now. So I think their equation, you know, is heavily equated.
Okay.
Week 4, Broncos travel to the Raiders. What do you think the spread is?
Broncos by 30. Broncos minus 30.
This is a flat-out pick 'em. Exactly. Exactly.
Put the house.
It just shows you what the experts think of the Raiders. Now, I'm not bullish on the Raiders. I just keep telling you to use wisdom with your slander for over a year now with zero substance to back it. So now you get to week five. The Broncos are either favored or even in every game. It's Thursday night football. It's a short week. It's the Colts coming to Mile High.
Got to be favored again. Got to be favored again. And so to me, that's a Broncos 2.5 or 3-point favorite.
Broncos favored by 3.5.
Okay.
So pretty close. So now we're through 5 weeks. The Broncos have been favored or even in every game. You get to week six. You're going on the road against the Chargers.
On the road against, well, they're the underdog in this one. And it's going to be one of those. Again, I think it's a four point underdogs. Broncos will be plus 4.
This is as close to a pick 'em here. It's 3 points, but the Chargers are favored by 3, the by obligatory 3 points for being the home team.
But so, it's not a, I mean, it's 3. It's 3 points. Yep. Broncos are getting 3.
Correct.
So I was close, but wow. That's it.
That's it.
I thought it'd be a little bit more than that.
That brings us to week 7. We're going to have DMAC here in just a couple minutes. Maybe we can continue this exercise. If we don't finish, we get to week 7. It's the Jets at the Broncos.
Wow. That's 7.5-point spread. Broncos favorite.
You're darn close. It's 8. That gets us to week, that was week 7. That gets us to week 8. It's the London game. We're guessing the spread on every game. We have it for the whole season. Week 8 in London against Jacksonville.
Broncos 5.5.
Darn close. Broncos minus 6.
Okay.
Another favored game. Week 9, it's a bye week.
Okay, so just real quick, because I know we're about to have DMAC. Yeah. So that's the first 8 games.
Yep.
And I've said this whole time, Broncos should be 6-2. And that's kind of what Vegas is telling us.
Correct.
And I said at the worst, they should be 5-3. Anything less than 5-3 is a complete disaster to start the season. If they're 4-4, because this is their easy part of the schedule.
Correct.
You got to get off to a fast start. Because it doesn't get easier down the stretch. It just gets more difficult. So at the bare minimum, they got to be 5-3. But they should be 6-2. 4-4 is a disaster.
I completely agree. The bye week is a perfect time to hit the pause button on this exercise. Perfect. At the bye week. It's actually perfect. But just a big takeaway, outside of one game, Broncos are favored in every single game leading up to the bye week. Stokely, they went the entire 2020 season without ever being favored in a single game. We move on to DMAC, who is live from St. Louis. DMAC, doing
Aaron.
A great job with your coverage. We're thrilled that you're out there. Man, there's a lot to unpack here, man. There's the game itself in which the Avalanche bounce back and Lehkonen scores twice and Logan O'Connor, you talk about pushing the right buttons, he ends up tying that game and you had, you know, Kadri score a goal on a deflection, Gabe got involved, there's Darcy, but then there's all the other stuff. There's all the other stuff with Nazem Kadri and what happened to Jordan Binnington, then what happened after the game and the post game with the water bottle, then what happened after with death threats. I mean, where do you want to start with this one?
Well, let me just start, I suppose, with whatever news I can and share. And I'm sitting here and the state's over, and then the guys who don't play are kind of getting their work in because they won't be playing tonight. And Curtis McDermott is one of those guys, as is Ryan Murray. So Jack Johnson likely will take Sam Girard's spot. And any speculation that McDermott would go into, face the music with anybody else, you can put that to bed. He won't be going. So that's that. We'll start there. Craig Berube, when I asked him directly if he had any comment about the threats to Kadri, said no comment. And he doesn't comment on stuff like that. And I'm not sure how often you have to address racist death threats to your opponents. Doesn't seem like that's something that, you know, happens all the time. But Berube had no comments on that. And Jared Bednar, to be fair, didn't expand on it all that much, but he agreed that it was disgusting and there's no place for it. So kind of wild, guys, in terms of all that stuff that's going on.
DMAC, I know you got to talk to Coach Bednar after the game. What were his thoughts, his takeaway after that win? Big, big win for the Avs on the road. What's been his biggest takeaway heading into game 4 tonight?
Well, you know, they made they played Logan O'Connor and he scored a goal and they made some adjustments and they're going to make several adjustments here tonight. Maybe we're not quite sure, couldn't quite tell, but Alex Newhook hasn't played in the playoffs at all yet, and maybe he gets sees the light, sees the ice here tonight. The other takeaways is they felt really good, Stoke, leading up to game three. It was weird, and maybe Stoke, you could explain as a athlete where you prepare for one game. Maybe in the NFL, like week one, you're ready to go for week one, but do you have less in the tank on week two because you've just kind of emptied the tank there in week one? And maybe it's different for the NFL because you have some time between. But that's essentially what they said, that they were just all fired up, emptied the tank in game one, didn't have their legs in game two, but felt refreshed and good to go for game three. So that was the big takeaway, that it was kind of this weird stop-start sort of thing, that they were ready in game three. And I would suspect once you get to that point again after a long rest, you'll be good to go. So I anticipate that'll be the case tonight.
D-Mac, what's the vibe around Husso, who, started the playoffs as the netminder there and then got replaced? He stopped 19 of 23 shots. He's now 1-3 in the playoffs. How big of a drop-off do you think it is from Jordan Binnington to Val Husso?
Well, not much, because he actually was playing. He had beaten out Binnington, who's got like a 6-year contract in the middle of the season. So he was their starter, and he did start the series against Minnesota and then got pulled from that series, and they put Binnington back in, who played fantastic. So it's a very odd situation here, fellas, because the future is with Binnington, but Husso literally beat him out, and Binnington was riding the pine during the season. So the players collectively, with the several Blues players that I've spoken with, they're fine with Husso. No big deal to them. It's a guy that they're very used to. So, I mean, not nearly the drama that we saw with the Predators when they were playing a guy who never played in the NHL. Husso's played a lot, and they have full confidence in him.
Well, I mean, there was a reason why he started the playoffs and got replaced. So I think, what are his teammates going to say, right? They're going to back him, but I think it's a big loss for him. And D-Mac, what are you expecting to see tonight? We know the cadre hit on Binnington. He got hurt. There's been beef there going back to last year. What do you expect to see in tonight's game?
Well, nobody on the Blues did anything to temper the attitude that Kadri did something intentionally to Binnington. Nobody. I mean, if anything, they've kind of ramped that up. Where on the Avalanche side, the hit to Girard, Gabe Landeskog just moments ago, he agreed while the hit to Girard was a hockey play, it also deserves a penalty being called. That's what Gabe said. But ultimately, it is, a hockey play. There's a temperature here, fellas, and I'm not sure what's going to happen. But Kadri is, he gets lustily booed here. He is maybe he's the rallying point. But, it's a good question, though, because I don't know how the death threats and all that stuff really will change the atmosphere here of this crowd towards Kadri. And seriously, how he may get treated by the Blues player, it might be the exact opposite. It might be like, well, we got to stay clear of that. We, don't want to get messed up in that garbage. I'm curious, too, fellas, and I'd be curious your thoughts. Do you think anybody takes a run at Kemper from the Blues? Do you think we see any action like that with Darcy?
I don't think that's crazy at all.
I don't think it happens, though. Oh, I don't think so. I think if anything, they go after Kadri.
So you could see that. I think I was literally planning on saying this. I think there's two guys who need to keep their head on a swivel tonight. It's Kadri and Kemper. And I think particularly, D-Mac, if for whatever reason this game gets out of hand and it's 4-1 in the third or something like that, or second half of the third, I think that you could see some of that frontier justice come out, especially if the Blues are on the brunt end of it and about to go down 3-1. I could see them trying to take it into their own hands. What do you think?
Yeah, that's maybe. I tell you, this crowd is not like the Nashville crowd when it comes to hockey. They know what's going on. They're into it. There's a vibe in here. It's not a bad fan base, though. I think this is a crackpot or two. It did force the Avalanche to take extra security measures, which they did. But I don't think that defines what the Blues fan base is. I think they're great people. Have had many, many terrific interactions over the past couple of days being here. I just think the intensity level is going to be the intensity is going to be on the next level here tonight. You can feel that building. There's no doubt about it. So, gosh, guys, I don't think it's going to be like fights left and right. I just think it's going to be a, you know, very, very hard hitting, very, very physical. And I think it's going to be a low scoring game because I just think everything is going to be played kind of in the middle of the ice. And I don't think either team is going to be all that overly, I don't think there's going to be a lot of chances being taken because I just think it's going to be kind of a slugfest top to bottom.
What's your prediction?
I'm saying 3-2 Avs. I think it's, you know, for all those interested, for whatever that's worth. I like going low there, Stoke, and just by a little bit.
All right.
So, you know, that's my little prediction. You guys, what do you guys think?
Well, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. You know, we're not there right, yet. Right, we're not right, there right, yet. Right, we're running the ship here, right, buddy. You know, you're on the sideline. This is our show. We'll leave the questions to us. Hey, D-Mac, no, seriously, you're doing a great job, man. Keep up the great work. I love seeing it on Twitter, all the breakdown, the interviews, and all that stuff. You're doing a great job, man. Keep it up.
All right, boys. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye. Thanks, D-Mac.
Okay,
there he goes.
That's great stuff from D-Mac. We'll give our predictions last segment of the show, but right now it's time for our Rockies Smashburger Smashed It Play of the Week.
273, looking for his first major league hit. Could it be a home run? That one deep out to left field and gone. How about that for a story? Fire off the fountains, Brian Servin. Home run number one, hit number one. Got to get that baseball back too. Goes Hampson again. Servin out to left field. Does it leave again? It does! A two-homer day for Brian Servin in his second big league game.
Brian Servin is serving tacos.
Pretty cool moment over the weekend. Now, the Rockies lost 2 of 3 against the New York Mets. I thought they could get back up to 500 yesterday afternoon.
I had it. You saw it. I had it.
I know.
I had it twisted with the Reds, the two underdogs.
The first ever Rockies-Reds parlay in human history.
Yeah.
Someone had to do it. It was Stokely yesterday.
Yes. Reds won, too.
Big upset.
I wanted to put it in Bearcat's face.
But how about this story? Brian Servin, his first ever hit is a home run,
really,
and
cool.
Then he comes back up to the plate, and his second ever hit is a home run as well.
Wow.
His first game was in that day game on Wednesday, but just really cool moment for him. He finished the game 2 for 4 with 2 home runs, 4 RBI. So for that young man, that's like just you can't make that up.
Yeah, great really moment. Cool. Really cool.
All right.
Bummer they lost yesterday. Had a chance to get to, I think it should be 20-20, something
yes,
like that.
Yes. Oh, I had
you got
to
score some runs to win, don't you, Zach? Isn't that the idea here? I mean, come on. You can't give up 2 at Coors Field. I don't care what the conditions are and lose. 2-0, not score any. Come on.
A goose egg at a day game at Coors.
Come on.
Come on.
Someone always tells me take the over in that.
Typically.
Typically.
Okay. We're going through the Broncos schedule. Where are they favored? Where are they the underdog? And we'll continue that exercise coming up next.
It's Mission 16W. Bring the cup home to Denver. Getting you set for tonight's Game 4 in St. Louis. Powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach.
We're going through the Broncos schedule. And just as an exercise, having Stokely guess the spreads on the game. The spreads are out for every single game of the NFL season. So it's a fun exercise just to do in general because we love this stuff. But also, there's a larger point here that we'll ultimately reach in terms of just how different life is around here as opposed to the last handful of years. We did weeks 1 through 8. The bye week was week 9. So that brings us to week 10, where the Denver Broncos will travel to the Tennessee Titans. What do you think the number on that is in Tennessee?
Well, I think the Titans will be favored. It will be around a field goal type of football game. I'm going to say it's right. Goodness, I'm 2.5 to 3.5 here. I'm going to go with I'll just go with three.
Titans as a 3-point favorite?
Yeah.
It is a dead even pick 'em.
Wow.
On the road in week 10. That is the number one seed from a year ago. The number one seed.
Wow.
At home hosting the Broncos and isn't favored. It's an exact pick 'em that gets us to week 11. The Broncos are hosting
the Raiders.
Who?
The Raiders.
Well, we should have been a 30-point favorite going into Vegas. I'm going to go 33.5.
Oh, my.
Home favorites.
Gosh.
I don't know exactly what you're talking about.
We don't either, John. The Broncos are a 3.5-point favorite.
House, boat, car.
That gets us to week 12. The Broncos traveling to the Carolina Panthers. We're nearly...
Oh, shoot. Go ahead. Sorry.
We're almost three-quarters of the way through the season.
Look.
Broncos traveling to the Panthers.
I mean, if they were a pick-em against the number one seed last year, I mean, they got to be a favorite going to Carolina. I mean, right? Broncos by three.
Close, 3.5.
Okay.
Broncos are favored in Carolina. My gut says that number should be higher. But it is what it is for a reason. That gets us to week 13. So again, Broncos favored again. Coming out of the bye week in consecutive weeks. That gets us to week 13. The Broncos travel to the Baltimore Ravens.
Ravens favored by 3.5.
Ravens laying a single point. Ravens minus -1.
Wow.
Wow is right.
Wow. Wow. I mean, I got that as a loss for the Broncos going through the schedule, and that's it. I mean, going to Baltimore is not easy. We've seen that here.
Yes, we have.
We've seen it.
Yes, we have.
I've been on one of those teams that's traveled over there. Well, I've been on two of them, but, you know, we beat them down one time. But it's not, and they should be a good team again.
They should be, and healthier than they were last year.
Yeah, season. I mean, Lamar didn't play a lot down the stretch there. Wow, okay.
So
that surprised me. It's that
So for
number.
Just the second time this season, as we're forecasting it, the Broncos are an underdog. Okay, that gets us to week 14. Kansas City Chiefs at the Denver Broncos. Sunday night football.
Chiefs favored by 2.5.
It is a dead even pick 'em.
Wow.
That gets us to week 15. Arizona Cardinals. Hey, how about Kyler Murray? OTAs.
Yeah.
Stiff arm. Brought that Heisman with him, that stiff arm.
They got the in-season Hard Knocks. Colts had it last year. I didn't watch one episode, unfortunately. I don't know why.
It was really good.
This may be interesting, too. With Kyler, see how much they baby him. What if he'll be playing video games while they're practicing? You got to wait up for me. I'll be right out there playing video games. I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Is that a story? Is that a rumor?
I don't know about that.
I don't know. We know he plays a lot of video games, and they have to wait for him out of the practice field.
Just got to wait for Kyler to get out there. We'll see how that looks on Hard Knocks. But that should be an interesting storyline. At home, Cardinals, they falter down the stretch. We know that. That's what they do. They play great at the beginning of the season. The end of the year, they're non-existent. Broncos by 3.5.
Okay. Okay. You got...
Focus here. Just stop looking at your text messages.
It's from our producer trying to make us aware of something at the end of the segment. Hang tight. You just sit in your jock seat over there. All right. We'll tell you when to talk.
I want the segment to be clean. You have to finish it off. You have to pay off. What is the spread?
The Broncos are -3.5. You had it spot on. You picked it exactly.
Finally, that's my first one.
That was
my first one.
You get to week 16. It's Christmas Day. It's the Broncos traveling to Los Angeles. What do you think the spread is?
Wow. I mean, some of these games have been a lot closer. So I'm going to say Rams by, I think this is going to be a 2.5 to 3.5. I'm going to go 3.
The Rams are -3. Okay. So you're stringing them together here.
Okay.
You get to week 17. Just two more games left. The Broncos travel to Kansas City. It was a pick 'em at home.
Right. So you deduce 3 points. So it's right around 3. I'm going to say it's 3.5.
It is 4.
Oh.
The Chiefs are a 4-point favorite week 17 on Sunday afternoon. And then that gets us to the final game of the year. It is week 18. It is the Chargers visiting the Denver Broncos. If you remember earlier in the schedule, the Chargers were a 3-point favorite at home. What do you think the number is when they come to Denver?
Broncos favored by 3.
Broncos favored by 1.
Okay.
So any comment, any thought, any...
I mean, I'm surprised a couple of the away games are as tight of a line as they are. Ravens, Titans. You know, he's talking about two very good teams. Now, things change. We get it throughout the course of the season. But just as a whole, you know, those two games were kind of surprising because the Titans were what? What was that line again, the Tennessee Titans?
It was a pick 'em.
A pick 'em. In Tennessee.
In Tennessee.
And Baltimore is like a 1-point spread?
1 point.
In Baltimore.
Yep.
Chiefs at home.
Pick 'em.
Surprising.
Yep.
Pick 'em. We haven't beat the Chiefs.
Since 2015.
Yes,
it's been many years, multiple presidents ago.
And now we're a pick 'em with them. So, look, it just says what we've been telling you. And what Broncos country knows, it's the power of the quarterback position. It's the power of Russell Wilson.
Exactly.
And I go to, that's why I go. See, I follow the clues, okay? That's why I go to that in the first game of the season. Like, power Russell Wilson, I don't give a darn. It's the first game of the season. We got, you know, youth. We got trying to, you know, iron out some things here and there. No. For me, it's the power of Russell Wilson.
Do you remember during that little exercise how many times the Broncos are the underdog?
I had to guess and deduce real quick. I'd say 3.
You're on it.
And they were a couple pick-ems.
It was a couple pick-ems. But the amount of times, and things will change, injuries and during the year, and these numbers will change. But from right now where we sit, the Denver Broncos are favored or at a pick 'em for 15 of the 18 games this year. Stokely, in the year, there, excuse me, 14 of the 17.
Did they amend, put a new one on there?
It's coming. You just wait. But in all but 3 games, the Broncos are favored or at a pick 'em. Stokely, we went through an entire football season in 2020 where the Broncos were not
so it's
favored.
14 out of 17.
Yeah, 14 out of 17. 14 out of 17.
Your math is
they're
killing
either
our listeners.
Favored or at a pick 'em. We went through an entire
season.
More
than that because there was three. How many are pick 'ems, though? 2?
Oh, I think there was like another 3, I think. It was the Titans on the road. It was the Chiefs at home. I think there's another one in there.
I think your math's off a little bit here. So
with what?
Just with a lot that's been being said.
Listen to me.
Okay.
In 14 of the 17 games, the Broncos are either favored or at a pick 'em. There is only 3 games on the schedule where they are the underdog.
There you go.
We have done radio together where we went through an entire season and the Broncos were never favored once.
That's depressing. It's the power of the quarterback position. And once again, it goes to the start of the season.
Totally.
Right?
Totally.
I mean, you know, when we were going through it, we both agreed. I mean, you got to get off to a fast start. But when you look at it, it's set up to get off to a fast start. And, you know, where in years past, we say, oh, through 8 games, you'd be 4-4. That's a great start.
That's
no.
Win. Get us to the bye and be 500.
Right. Not this year.
Agreed.
That would be an awful start.
Speaking of favorites, the Avs are a road favorite tonight.
Time now for your Mission 16W update. Bring the cup home to Denver. Here's the latest on tonight's game, courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
This game, there's just a lot to it. First of all, it's just naturally a high-pressure spot because you're in the second round of the playoffs. You haven't been on a second round in years. You've been ejected from that same second round for 3 consecutive years. Now you're up 2-1. Does it feel like you're playing with house money at all because you took home ice back?
No, not at all, because of what's happened in the past. If you win this game, I mean, everything says this thing is over. If you lose it, I become nervous once again. Because now it's down to a 3-game series, and anything can happen in 3 games.
St. Louis has already proved they can come here and win.
That's right. And I've been nervous about what I saw in game 2 and 3 to a certain degree. Now, I know they won 5-2, but if you watch that game, you play close attention. Like, ooh, there was a lot of nervousness. And the Avs got outplayed for a lot of that game. So To me, this is a huge game. Bury him. You got a chance to. Just do it.
It's tonight. It's at 7:30. It's on TNT. Expect a little bit late start. That's been the trend for all of these games. Who knows what we're in for with the Nazem Kadri storyline? Could there be retribution? We're going to make predictions on that in just a little bit. But in the meantime, we're targeting the biggest storylines as the Broncos are back at OTAs. How is this offensive line going to shake out? And does a former high draft pick have a reason to be worried? We'll take a dive into that conversation coming up next.
It's Mission 16W. Bring the cup home to Denver. Getting you set for tonight's Game 4 in St. Louis. Powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Targeting the biggest storylines as the Broncos are back at OTAs. How is this offensive line going to shake out? And does a former high draft pick have a reason to be worried?
Oh.
Got a couple details here coming out of OTAs. We'll get to those in just a second. Give them their proper discussion time. Could we see today the first clue how the Broncos are going to handle the boys up front?
I think it's still early. What positions exactly are you looking at?
Well, I think there's two of them that come immediately to mind, center and right guard.
Yeah. I think right now it's still very early. You're just going to put usually the incumbent, the veteran guy in that place. A lot can happen. Most of the time, when is that going to happen? When you start banging a little bit. When you start, you know, actually getting after people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not right now. It's just helmets. And, you know, you don't have shoulder pads on. So it's hard to really evaluate offensive linemen.
Do you think that, like, when you think about clues, like, okay, first day of a basketball practice, they'll give you something like this. They'll say, hey, nothing set in stone, but let's just have the first five guys out there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then you look at opening day and that's your five starters.
Wow. But don't put too much thought into it. Let's get these five guys right over here.
Right.
No, not you, Jimmy. Jimmy, you're out. Yeah.
Definitely
Steve,
not you.
Get in. Yeah.
But, and it's one of these things where when you're going to start trying to get work done, you start to begin to see the vision of how they would like it to fall.
Sure. Yeah, I like the way that you phrase that. And yeah, I don't know. We don't know how this coaching group, this coaching staff operates when it comes to things like that. We know how
True.
The other coaching
True.
Staff operated. It was like, you know, let's all have oranges and let's all get trophies.
You make an intelligent observation.
We don't know how this staff goes about their business. Are they cutthroat? Are they just, you know, trying to? And I think just right now, too, they're trying to figure things out as a staff. They don't have history. Most of them don't have history with these players. So they're trying to figure these guys out. And so I wouldn't put a lot into what you see right now, more so when we get into training camp. But you never know. You just never know.
I think guys to watch here up front are second-year player Quinn Meinerz. Now, he said last week that he's been practicing center quarterback exchanges. Okay, now, the bulk of the work is still belonging to the incumbent, Lloyd Cushenberry. But if there's one guy on this offensive line that could lose his job in the preseason, it feels like Lloyd Cushenberry would be on that list.
Sure. I mean, the last staff was very high on Quinn Meinerz.
They were.
This is a different scheme, different system now. How does he fit in this system?
Apparently, he's lost 10 pounds.
Perfect.
Try to get, you know, a little bit lighter, a little bit more athletic.
No more belly?
The belly's still there. I saw the belly out.
Okay. Belly's back out. Because last year, he started covering it up.
It kind of
started. I think they had a talk with them.
Someone did.
It's not about your brand.
Right.
As a, you know, third-round draft pick.
Selling
out
the T-shirts.
Minnesota Duluth.
It was Wisconsin Whitewater.
Close, one of those.
Be respectful.
No disrespect to Wisconsin, Whitewater, or Minnesota Duluth, but New is one of those two named schools.
Those are Division III powerhouses.
Yes.
But he had the shirts. He had the belly shirts.
Yes.
And it was a good cause from what I remember. But still, as an offensive lineman right out of the gate to be selling gear is unusual. Yeah.
Very highly, to say the least. That's usually frowned upon in those rooms. But
times are changing.
Oh, times are definitely a changing. But look, so different scheme now. You want to be a little bit more athletic, lighter if you're him. So losing 10 pounds, I think, is a good thing. It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, who's our right guard? Who's our starting right guard right now?
Glasgow?
Yeah, but he's hurt. He's still rehabbing an injury. He had an injury last year. I think he's still rehabbing. So he's not practicing right now. So who would our starting right guard be? I mean, it's not Mooty, is it?
It might be.
But see, Mooty, he doesn't fit this offense.
Yeah, he's
Mooty
like
Mooty is a, you know,
like a bulldozer.
Natani?
Yeah.
Yeah, from Utah. He's a bulldozer. He's a guy, a phone booth guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not a guy that's going to stretch wide and be running sideline to sideline and stretching these guys and, you know, trying to get the cutback lane for the running back.
That's not who he is.
He's a downhill type of guy. Power.
Maller, yeah.
Power. So
I think it's Quinn Miners. If it's not Glasgow, it's Miners.
Right. I wouldn't be surprised if Mooty gets traded for, you know, a seventh-round pick here or something to a better offense for him. Because to me, this offense doesn't fit his skill set at all. It's just like a complete waste. And because I think he's a decent player and he has a chance to be, you know, to help a team out. I just think in this system, it's not here. So we'll see how it plays out. And, you know, I would lean more on Slareth and Palumbus to school me up on that a little bit more. But I would think that he's probably not a good fit for this offense. But, like, who else? I mean, Glasgow's coming off the injury. He took a major pay cut.
He did.
And you look at a guy like Quinn Miners.
Yeah.
Probably the guy that ends up being the starter.
Probably so. And the thing is about Mooty is he just couldn't stay healthy. If you remember, he was going to be a higher drafted player. His freshman year, like at Fresno, he was just destroying people and couldn't get right.
Oh, it was Fresno. I said Utah. Fresno? Was
yeah, I believe it was Fresno. He was just killing people, then couldn't stay healthy. He's been healthy here, but really hasn't.
Got a few opportunities, but nothing special, obviously, when he hasn't been able to stick in the lineup.
All right, interesting. We got details coming out of practice, and one of the stories is who's not there.
Here we go again.
We'll fill you in coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.